word that I thought you did a truly historic job on that mission. And I'm very happy to read what the Economist in London wrote about. Did you happen to see it?
Yes, I thought it was reasonably good for those foreign folks who really don't have as much perception as I would like sometimes. They're too goddamn busy with their monocles to know what the hell's happening.
Yeah, well, I thought on this one they pretty well understood it. And
they did. They did a good job. Most of the foreign press, I thought, was completely off. They never were around it. They would, kind of like Eli Abel, they'd go to Manila and then they'd skip to Korea and they missed 6 points and they didn't know what happened at either place. But
yeah.
We did get a full and complete agreement on 4 specific points, the most important of which was to do or die, resist. And they can no longer say that it's just the United States trying to dominate Asia. There's 7 countries. The closer they are, the more concerned they are with it. We did observe and generate, and we think get in motion some new vitality in Asia, Malaysia, in Korea. They got a growth of 8%, which is just shattering the economists. They never could believe it. Yes, it is unbelievable. And then we brought out, I think, the desire of Asians to do a lot more for themselves. They're making their 5-year plans. They're moving ahead. They're going to loans instead of grants, things of that kind. Malaysia now has a gross national product per capita of $300. Most of them been under 100. If the price for rubber and tin remain good, they'll be able to get by really without anything. Thailand's moving without just a little military assistance. Korea is shifting into loans. Our real problem is now with Indonesia. And in the aid field. Because the communists have left them bankrupt and broke in a hell of a shape. But what we've done out there, they tried Korea and failed, they tried Malaysia and failed, they tried Indonesia and failed, and it's 3 down, 1 to go in South Vietnam. But we have to repair the mess they leave Indonesia in. That'll require a little aid. We've got a good deal that suggests that Russia and Eastern Europe are bringing forces to bear on Hanoi to sit down with us, but maybe the mess in Communist China is helping too, but the hard fact is that they haven't moved as yet. But as a whole, the trip was, we thought, foreshadowed a real good relationship among the countries. We had between 5 and 10 million people, according to their estimates, come out to see us, and didn't have any serious disagreements. We had thorough, healthy explorations with every country and all the cabinet members. We gave and we took. We didn't have any prepared stuff. We just sat there for 2 hours. They'd ask any question they want to, and I'd ask any. We didn't ask for any troops, but we all agreed we were going to do whatever's necessary, and that's up to Westmoreland. We got the government of Vietnam to commit itself to a good many things, like well, it was nobody's ever pointed up, but this effort to overcome disease and illiteracy and social injustice was good. To train and assign a good number of their armed forces to clear and hold actions to provide a shield is important. The training of the revolutionary development cadres is going to be improved. We're doing a lot in agriculture and electricity and good water and better schools and stuff like that. We're working out a series of modern agricultural measures that we're increasing the yields double in some instances. We're maintaining constant effort to keep inflation under control. They've devalued and we're making progress there. They're expanding their post-war economy. They gave us a firm commitment to have an election within 6 months to select a representative government after the Constitution is completed, and probably before the deadline, March 67, they're going to hold village and hamlet elections. So the village and hamlets elections, the 6 months select a representative government, those are pretty firm commitments, and they're preparing a program of national reconciliation to open all doors to the Vietnamese who have been misled or coerced. That's including the Viet Cong. The government will try to bring them back to participate as free men in national life under amnesty. And if they don't want to, they'll let them go back to North Vietnam.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty far-reaching thing. Now, all that's blotted out by the sensationalism of a few correspondents being overworked. I noticed on all three networks, all they talked about this morning was that they had to travel and had to stay up, and ain't nobody concerned a goddamn with whether Eddie Abel got any sleep or not. But he didn't talk about what the conference, the trip did. He just talked about how much sleep he'd had.
Well, there's been an awful lot of it written back here that's been good, in my opinion. And I personally, the most interesting thing to me, looking at the difference to success in Manila and keeping each form of extremism running away out there.
It did, we did, and we're all happy about it. And all seven of them agreed, and they agreed on two important things. One is we'd go anywhere to talk to anybody, and the folks that won't talk peace, it's their fault. There's something wrong when the guy won't get in the room with you. We're ready to get in. That's number one. Number two, we're going to resist to the end, and we didn't demand unconditional surrender, as Roosevelt and Churchill did, but we damn sure made it clear we weren't about to quit or let up or election or no election.
You sure did. I thought that we saw you last night, but way back and forth. You look pretty good.
Oh, I feel good. I've got some problems. I'm going to have to go and get a little operation on my side. I've got a polyp in my throat that I've got to have removed just to be sure it's not benign. And I'm going home tomorrow afternoon and stay there probably most of the rest of the year.
You're not going to campaign anymore?
No. I don't think there's any reason to do that. I'm not running, and they're trying to make this a big race with me. And what the hell if I lost 50 seats? They've been losing 50 every year since 1890. If I lost them, what would I have? They'd have 190. I'd still have a goddamn majority of 60 men.
I pointed that out myself.
I ran a Senate over there with a one-man majority. So this just gives these folks that got nothing else to do to write about. That's all.
Well, they're setting up an irrational figure. I've been pointing that out about three times, that even if they get 50 seats, it's far from a revolutionary turn, and it's only a little above the normal.
18, now they're not going to do that. I got an estimate last night. My boys think if they get 35, they'd be doing well. I think they'd get more, but our people don't think so.
Well, I'm awfully glad you're back. You did a great, wonderful job.
Anyway, if I got the hell beat out of some of these extreme liberals, it'd help me. It wouldn't hurt me.
Hurt you a bit, you know how I feel.
Okay.
Take care.
Wish you'd write a column or two on this. You think you're so damn sensitive that you don't do enough of it, but if you'd write as often as our friends Evans and this crowd do for Kennedy, I'd get a little defense. You ought to point out what this has done.
Well,
I wish you'd talk to Walt Rostow and Bill Moyers before we get away, so the next week we'll have some rational, analytical analysis of this thing in perspective.
Well, I've already done one of those, and I will do that, and I've also been to see him, and I also done some things on the congressional race.
Good.
One thing I did, I hope you'll see eventually. Kennedy went out to Berkeley right in the middle of when Manila was starting and took off on that system, not bombing anyone.
I saw that, and I thought it's good, and I thought that he did the same damn thing in Latin America, Dominican Republic. And it's totally irresponsible, and you ought to eat his tail out for it.
I did, and he backed off of it.
Yeah, okay.
Be to him. Bye.